Hi, this is Emma. Please try calling again or leave a message and I'll get back to you.
Hi Emma, it's Emma. I'm just phoning about the podcast, and I'm gonna be talking about your work, but I'm not sure where to start. So I was hoping you could give me an idea about where to start. Yeah, just let me know.
I think you should start at the beginning.
The beginning. I have a text in Aspidistra called A Sleuth of Bears, which is about animal collective nouns. You'll be familiar with expressions like a gaggle of geese and a flock of birds. You may be less familiar with expressions like a tower of giraffes, a smack of jellyfish, or a shrewdness of apes. I love these words for how specific and superfluous they are. Surely there's no practical need for them. But I also love them for what they say about humans, our fears, the way we project our feelings onto something external. Take an army of frogs as an example. This term could be just a visual joke, because frogs are dressed in camouflage. Or it could be the purpose we see in their movements. They're out to get us and organised to boot. In the context of Aspidistra, this text spoke about collective identity. At least, how a collective identity is formed or forced through language. Perhaps the identities we've chosen are not the identities the animals would have chosen for themselves. It could be that all frogs are pacifists. Earlier, the pre-beginning. The beginning before I knew it was a beginning. I'm looking now at eight photographs taken with a comic strip progression of narrative. They are what remains of my first performance to camera, aged about 7 years old. The action takes place in my parents' back garden, and the sole audience member is our black cat, seen in the background of two of the photos, plus whoever is holding the camera. So the first photo, I'm stood by a tree with my back to it. And I'm holding an open newspaper and I'm smiling at the camera. So I think this photo was sort of captured before I was ready to start. I've got quite a cheeky smile. I'm wearing a slightly dodgy looking hat and my Ghostbusters jacket and red Wellington boots. In the second photo, I've got my newspaper upheld so it obscures my face. And I guess I'm trying to look a bit shifty. Then it switches over to a photo, like a long shot of the garden, and there's a picture of my dad, and he's wearing like a policeman's helmet, and he's got a truncheon in his pocket, and he's walking with his hands behind his back. And there's also you can see the black cat in the background there. Then photo number four. It's changed location. It's sort of by this scrubby bush without any leaves because it looks like it's the winter. And my dad's on the other side of the bush and he's looking through at me. And I'm again stood with this newspaper in front of my face. Then suddenly the scene switches again. It's more in the middle of the garden and I'm sort of frozen, like I'm running away from him, but it's not very realistic. I've got the newspaper tucked under my arm, and my dad's a couple of paces behind me with the truncheon raised, and he's also frozen as if running. And then it like zooms in, so you can see another shot of me and just my dad's arm kind of reaching out towards me. There's a bit of a continuity error with the newspaper. I'm just holding it now rather than it being tucked under my arm. And then he's got me. I've got handcuffs around me, and I'm looking down at my hands and smiling. And Dad's got his hand on my shoulder and he's taken the newspaper away from me. And then the last one, number eight, I'm wrapped in a kind of chicken wire thing, like a prison, and I'm looking down, trying to look sad, but actually smiling a bit as well. If you want to see these photos for yourself, then you can find them on my website. That's emmaleach.co.uk. I've brought in these photos to explain how I came to choose the title A Sleuth of Bears. This collective noun jumped out from all the others because I have for many years been drawn to the character of the detective, the sleuth. As a child, a little older than I was in these photographs, I decided to set up a private detective agency with my friend Alexa Looker. We were going to call it Leach and Looker. At university, doing a fine art degree, I laid clues for people to find. I investigated evidence. I hired people for surveillance. My dissertation was called The Flaneur, The Rag Picker, and The Detective, three models for contemporary art practice. I have it here. This is the first paragraph of chapter 3 of my dissertation, called Gathering and Presenting Evidence.
Artists using a detective aesthetic sometimes present their art objects as evidence. Often in contemporary art, the objects are arbitrary and insignificant in themselves, endowed...
I hate it when people use the word endowed.
Endowed with significance through their context. In the detective aesthetic, arbitrariness can be advantageous. Objects are given significance. The more insignificant they are before, the more dramatic the effect. It's almost a cliche in the detective story that often the tiniest details are the most important. For example, in Poe's The Murders in the Rue Morgue, much emphasis is placed on the detail of a nail fixing the sash of a window. From this detail, the whole mystery unravels.
The part that strikes me now is the cliché of the detective paying attention to tiny details that others would miss. The Suspicions of Mr. Witcher by Kate Summerscale describes a murder in 1860 that became a fixation of the national press. The story of this murder, which was only partly solved, gave fuel to the burgeoning new genre of the detective novel, said to be invented by Edgar Allan Poe, and then cemented by Wilkie Collins' serial The Moonstone. The introduction to Summerscale's book says, "A detective was a recent invention. The first fictional sleuth, Auguste Dupin, appeared in Edgar Allan Poe's The Murders in the Rue Morgue in 1841, and the first